Thanks, everybody, for joining us again today on Bridging the Gap. Today, we're going to do just a general update of what's going on in the county within the county departments. I'm joined by Judge James Anderson. I'm Corey Graham, Communications Director for the county. And we're just going to kind of go department by department, let you know what's happening with your local government. Judge, let's go ahead and start with the road department. What's the latest information we've got coming out of the road department?
Yeah, currently we're mowing again for the second time this year. So if you're starting to see roadways get grown up or whatever, you can should be within the next week or two, it should be mowed. So know that we're on that and trying to address all those things. And several other things that we got that will be going on at the road department over the next couple of months, kind of to make people aware of. Naturally, state still has their 80-20 program, which I think was started under the last administration, and roughly about close to 20 structures since I've been in office, we've been able to utilize this program to get the county. And so we got another round of those that'll be using the same program. And when I say 80-20, what it is actually the state will pay for 80% of the cost, and the county's got to come up with the 20%. Which in most instances you can use your in-kind and things. So it's been a great program, and that's what I said. When I first came to office, there was a lot of we're calling them bridges, but they could be drainage structures, and we're getting to the point where now we're really having to start to search out to find those, and it's been very beneficial to all the counties and a real good program. But I guess kind of give people a little idea of where those will be. There'll be one replaced at Five Flick, one at Poplar Bluff, one on Little Hardest Creek, and then one on Millstones, the four bridges scheduled to be completed. And hopefully those will be let, put in the paper in the next week or two, and then we'll have a letting and hopefully get those started this summer and have them completed before this winter, hopefully. It's the plan on those. One other project we had going is there was a road, a little land slip up on Upper Cane Creek, so we had acquired emergency funding to get that resolved. It's been an ongoing issue, and so hopefully that'll give us a permanent solution there.
Well, and I know just down the street from us here, the Senior Citizen Center, the new Senior Citizen Center, seems to be coming along. It looks great. It looks like it's just about wrapped up. What's the latest progress on that?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of we're basically down to getting the parking lot paved as we work through the grant cycle. Had a wonderful contractor and kept in, and so we're going to be able to include the paving in that. And so there was a change order required, so it's kind of just technicalities of letting them do what they got to do to get that done and facilitated. And we wanted to have that done prior to moving into the building, and naturally with the handicap requirements, things, it was going to have to be concrete or paved. So as soon as we get that done, we're really ready to move in. We had hoped to be in a couple months earlier, and it's not just little things holding us up, but it's all but done. And so hopefully by the end of summer, we'll be in it, and folks get to enjoy that, and it'll be a much better facility for those folks.
And, of course, anybody who's been down around the courthouse, near the library, down Breckenridge Street at all has noticed the pretty massive renovation going on to the jail. What's the status with that?
Yeah, actually, I'd walked through it this morning. It'd been a while since I'd been through, and it's really come a long way since the last time I'd actually went through it. And actually, on the outside, you can see some of the progress and tell, but equally, there's been a lot of work done on the inside. Right now, substantial completion date is for July 31st, and so hopefully by August we'll have that facility open. And beyond, hopefully what it'll do for the county as far as economically, also just I'm sure people's got tired of it's been a process and people's been patient, but they've been a lot of dust and things that traffic that folks have had to deal with around that area. So I'm sure everybody will be glad to see it finally calm back down and a lot of parking spaces freed up and that kind of thing.
Well, and you talked about the economic impact that's going to have. I mean, I know obviously it's larger, but, you know, explain to us a little bit about how that's going to work as far as helping the average taxpayer of the county.
Yeah, actually, you know, in the jail segment, I don't know if people had an opportunity to listen to it. We went a little bit more in depth, but basically this was not a decision, you know, this jail expansion naturally. Working with the jail or court, it's not a decision any of us took very lightly. It was probably one of the bigger decisions I've made since been in office, naturally, with that kind of outlay of capital and things of that nature. You're naturally impacting future generations, and looking at that, we hope that's a positive impact to those generations, and asking how it directly relates back to those taxpayers. you know, just a few short years ago, about the time I came into office, right when Travis, you know, the jail was somewhere around a $750,000, $800,000 drain to our general fund. And already that's been cut by more than a $500,000. And this expansion is an effort to continue to cut that number. And hopefully, like I said, this projected budget actually has us in the black by $24,000. So we're hopeful that we was very conservative with the models we used. And so hopefully beyond that, it can be better. But at worst case, hopefully it will be put us in the black.
And so increasing the size of the jail increases the amount of prisoners that it can hold. And then we'll be, in theory, bringing those in from outside of Powell County, correct?
That is correct. Naturally, with state inmates and housing other counties' inmates as well, it gives us a revenue stream. And that's what I said. There's been a lot of interest from several surrounding counties that, you know, who through jail closures or whatever reason, they may have agreements if they don't have a jail where they're housing people at two or three locations. So they're very excited that they potentially have a contract where they could house them at one location, which naturally would help them as well, only transporting from one location, maybe closer to their house. So keep getting more and more positive things like that coming about. So I'm very optimistic that that will prove to have been a very good decision on our parts.
Well, it definitely seems like it's going to be large enough to hold just about whatever we would need it to. So that's a good thing. But beyond that, what else is going on? What other updates do we need to be aware of?
Yeah, there's several things. And kind of just touching base, talked to Steve Asbury, Emergency Management Director. And this week he's been replacing naturally most of our warning sirens. You know, they have a battery system that helps operate them. So naturally those there's a maintenance schedule on replacing those batteries. So he's been doing that, and I think he's completed all of them but two on getting those batteries switched out. And also, which has kind of been an ongoing project, the one siren we have that is currently not functioning is the one at Kathy's Country Kitchen. And so I know he's got plans to get that one back functioning, and at that point we should have all of our sirens going, and that's been much better. Like I said, we've mentioned before, I think when I came into office, on any given time, usually three to four of them were functioning. So now we have all but one, which is somewhere 12, 13. So that's there's been a concerted effort to make that system work better, and appreciate their efforts in keeping that going.
Well, and I know that's been you know, something working in, you know, 911 emergency management myself, we hear a lot about is the sirens. And the weather we've seen this year, I was actually talking off air about how it just seems like this year we don't just get normal rain. It's like every time we get anything, we get a storm. So it's good to know that those are going to be up and running, and that we're, you know, taking initiative to make sure that they're where they should be with the storms that we do have coming in now. It's been unusual.
I guess one thing kind of while we're on the siren aspect there, Corey, really, the thing that's better now is, and we were going to touch on this anyway, so we can go ahead and get right into it, was with the advent of our public information, that really goes hand in hand with our warning siren. So, you know, now I think people can attest to, usually if you hear a siren go off, you can access that page, and usually there's a pretty good explanation as to why they're going off, you know, what that's related to, or what to be in abreast of when you hear those. So I think we've done a lot for public safety in that regard.
Yeah, and to anyone who hasn't checked it out, it's a Facebook page, facebook.com/Powell County PIO. And the page, or you can just search Powell County Office of Public Information on Facebook. We do try our best to give you up to the minute, as soon as we know it, you know it, information, whether it's about hazardous weather conditions that are coming into the community, or even beyond that, just good stories and interesting things that are going on. One of our most recent efforts, we went out to NADAFest in Slade, shot a lot of really good video, talked to some really interesting people. Now, a lot of folks who had come down for the festival and the events surrounding the festival who are not only not from Powell County, a couple not even from the state, and people who traveled long distances to come here and be a part of our community. And it was really great and inspiring to see how well all that came together. And, of course, the work that Patty Brown and her folks up there that they put into really making the NADAFest, making it happen. It's really, really great to see. But I mean, we do a lot of things like that, if you're not familiar with it, where we make sure that the people of Powell County, initially it started as you know, weather advisories and keeping people safe during storms, and it's moved on to covering a whole lot more. Our most recent video, the one about NativeFest, right now it has 7,300 views and almost 14,000 people have looked at it. So it makes you feel good to see that we're that interesting to people around the social media community. We really, really are fortunate.
Corey, I guess, you know, that, and I guess, you know, in reality, this radio show stems from the conversation we had, and I'm wanting to think back. It was probably the winter of 12 or 13 that you and I and numerous people that was involved in some of those emergency, you know, winter events started talking about what we needed to better inform our people and keep them abreast of what's going on, and just add another level of transparency to our government things, too. And really from that, we've been able to, on a shoestring budget, basically throw this thing together. But I think y'all have done great work in what you've done with it. And I guess kind of beyond what I think the traffic will show on the page, I mean, just an example, I think here in the last, and I was going to ask you about this, the last month or two, I think y'all got a pretty prestigious honor or award in recognition for some of the things that we've been able to do with this public information concept.
We did. Now, of course, I want to give a lot of credit, full credit, appropriate credit to Charlie Baglin. Charlie works with Kentucky Afield Radio, and I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Kentucky Afield on KET, the outdoors show, and they actually have a radio network as well. Charlie is a fantastic broadcaster. He's a true radio man, and he came into Powell County, I guess it would have been last year, to talk to us about the 50-year anniversary of the attempt to build the dam in the Red River Gorge that would have dramatically changed the landscape of Powell County. Charlie and I rode around Powell County for over an hour just looking at different locations. We worked hand in hand there to really tell the story of the people of Powell County and the work that went into both the sides of the work that went into facilitating the dam and the work that went into stopping it. It was a pretty controversial time in Powell County history and Kentucky history. Then Governor Julian Carroll was very involved, and it was a really interesting story. And so this broadcast was submitted to the National Association of Government Communications, which is the awarding body for a lot of very prestigious honors for people who are in the kind of business that we are, like this, where your local government talks to you. It actually won the National Award for the best government-produced radio broadcast of 2016. And so that it's a tremendous honor. It's probably one of the, if not the biggest honors I've ever been a part of in my career. And Judge Sarah Combs participated in this, and she deserves a lot of credit. She's a fantastic storyteller. And but the people of Powell County all can share in this honor. It's not just those of us who sat in on the program. I mean, this it was the story of Powell County, the story of our own people that really told this story. And to me, it's fantastic to know that Powell County and then such an important part of our lives is fascinating enough that in the entire United States, it was deemed to be the best best story told in 2016. I just think that's wonderful for us and for our county.
But like I said, we've spent a good portion of this show, and rightfully so, on this. And it's one of, like you said, I think what we've been able to, and I say primarily you because you've pretty much took it and ran with it, but what we've done with this public information concept is very vital. And contrary to a lot of today's politicians, I think media has a very important role in government, not only holding in check, but also in the capacity of informing the public as to what's going on. But this has given us, I think, a really ability. That's what I said. With that being said, a lot of your mainstream media, I do think, naturally want to concentrate on the negatives or controversial things, whereas there's a whole lot of positive things going on, not only in our government, but in our community. And this gives us a way to make people aware and, you know, get those notifications out, make them a little bit more engaged, hopefully.
We're running out of time on the show, but if you want to check us out, like I said, you can go to Facebook and just search for Powell County Office of Public Information. It'll come right up, or direct link at Facebook.com/Powell County PIO. And we'll be back again on Monday with more Bridging the Gap. And to those of you on Facebook, I'm sure I'll be interacting with you, if not before then.